Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
And for my man, T-Law, man, y'all get off of T-Law, because that's the saber-tooth tiger himself.
Play fake. Lawrence keeps it. Made a man miss. Dives to the end zone. Touchdown. Trevor ran it in himself, and the Jags have extended the lead.
Yeah, it's not making it bigger than it is. Like I said, when we put our best out there, we can play with anybody.
Oh my gosh, this defense, man. I tell you, bro, when we fly around, when we don't hurt ourselves, we can be one of the best defenses out there.
Four-man front for Jacksonville. Here we go. Dropping the throw is Allen. Looking, fires middle of the field. The ball's intercepted. Picked off by the Jags. The Jags are going to run it back to the 27-yard line.
Brought us electrifying energy. You know, it revamped our team, you know, and you know, just what we needed.
I'll still be a 4-3. Yeah, I feel like I haven't lost any speed.
Inside handoff to Jamal Agnew, line up in the backfield, all kind of room along the left sideline.
I just feel like when I have the ball in my hands out there, I run fast enough to get the job done.
35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Jamal Agnew went the distance.
Mayfield, he's going to be turned into a prehistoric Kara Wrecker super kick.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E to the T.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is Friday, wrapping up the week here on Jaguars Today. I forgot to mention, Tony, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, I'm well.
I mentioned that, but I forgot to mention the other day that Holiday did get a Pro Bowl nod from one of our listeners on social media.
We were
talking
about,
you know, the season plays out the way you expect it to. Uncle Holiday, as he was described. Unk's going to get him a Pro Bowl nod as the Jaguars Fan of the Year. Could be. Tom McManus is here.
Morning.
Hello, Tommy Mac.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good to see you, Mike.
It's
been
good to
so
see
long.
You. All right, it has
been a long time.
Since we've worked together.
Since Tuesday.
Since we've been this close. No, I saw you through the window.
Yeah, like, let's not re-enter.
It's become a thing now. Like you, if we don't get up in here and like run around the table like kids on a sugar rush.
Simple smiles. All I'm looking for.
I'm sure I smiled.
Give me the head nod. Like,
give me the head nod. Like, that's right. What's
no,
up?
No,
what's
there's up? No what's up head nod.
What's
it's
up,
more
Tom?
Like, why are you bothering me head nod? I'm your friend.
You are my friend.
Because there is a difference.
I actually gave the guy grief today at Wawa.
He creeps in the window. You see him. He's there with that leer on his face. You know, like, what's going on?
Tony always sees me. Tony waves.
We are facing slightly different ways here.
He's always waiting for somebody standing at the window. He's waiting for
something. He is waiting to be
recognized. Today's Friday. I'm not even recognizing you today.
Right,
it's Tuesday.
What are you, podcasting or something again?
Tommy doesn't appreciate the welcome to the area nod.
No. Hey, what's up? Oh, yeah, I recognize
you. I tell you what I don't like either is I went to
like?
Go take a leak and get some coffee at the Wawa. Guy's cleaning it, and I didn't recognize that he was cleaning it. So I opened the door, and he just like almost shuts the door on me. He's like, I'm cleaning. And I was like, don't be effing rude.
This guy, and then, so I you went. Got the button handy today, E.
So
he's
I
fired
I
up
like,
this morning.
What's your problem? You know, whatever. So I go get my coffee. I pay for it. On my way out, check, and he's pulling the car. I said, hey, buddy, you done? He goes, yeah. I said, good. I just went and did my business and left.
There you go.
Don't be rude. Come on. I didn't know you were cleaning
that
the floor.
That wasn't like a buddy. That was a, hey, buddy,
yeah.
You done?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Rude buddy.
Did
rude.
You give him the, did you give him the non?
No, the I almost gave him a headbutt.
Did you?
He needed something.
Well,
I don't know.
Was
I don't
it clean?
Think he
did it do a good
rude.
Job?
You know what?
Wall?
I will say, when I stepped up to the urinal, I was like, it does smell clean in here.
It's a spring fresh. You know?
I got to give him credit.
There's something to be said for a clean
especially when you're the first one in.
Well, yeah, if you're getting the break the seal opportunity. Fantastic. But no, seriously, I mean, you know how it goes, man.
You know what? A tiny bit of my brain, the little deviant side, said you should just piss all over this floor.
Oh,
but then I was like, I can't do that.
Happy Friday, everybody. Tommy Mac.
I can't do that. I would never do that. But you know, you have that little piece of the brain that's like, if I just let the deviant side go, what I would do. But I would never do that.
No, never.
No, I wouldn't. I'm sure.
I would never. I would never
disrespect somebody like that. That's ridiculous.
No, you just think it. Just for a brief flash. We all do.
But very.
We all do.
Very minute.
Very tiny flash.
Glimpse.
Hey, buddy.
Like a glimpse.
Tommy's buddy at the Wawa.
Right. When I hear the news story, in 2 years, there's been some Jacksonville man who's been peeing all over guest restroom.
Yeah, blame previously.
I know a guy.
Previously pristine.
I just gave someone an idea. Don't do it.
All right. E.T., good morning. How you doing?
What's going on?
Everything good? You get your rest? You all set for tonight? You need a nap this afternoon? What's the story?
Man, they called me Battery Pack E for a reason, baby.
Ooh, do that. I didn't know they called you that, but
yeah, Battery Pack E, baby.
Battery Pack E. He's like the Energizer Bunny.
Excuse me.
All right, tonight you got Sharks.
It's going down.
Right? Tomorrow.
I'm going to go crazy tomorrow.
You got the guns and the hoses.
It's going down. I'll be down. There.
Got all that, will you?
I'm a judge. Ringside,
oh, we go right to it.
Are you gonna gonna crush Tom if he gives how do you score? Like, is it a 10-point must system?
Just look at both fighters, see who hit each other more.
Oh my gosh, what are you, five? No, but seriously, is there not like a scoring format?
Yeah, I think
like,
it's not a,
is it
actually
10-point?
Just, I think you just
pick the winner of the round.
No, and you know what? I haven't done it for a few years. I can't really remember. But there's a scoring system. I don't know if it's only one. It's 1-minute rounds.
Man in blue trunks beat up man in red trunks. Winner, man in
blue
trunks.
It's like that old game, you know, where the punch. I'm talking about the standing there whacking each other, and they just kind of figure it out who won.
What's that?
Now, if you get knocked
your
down,
block off?
If you get knocked down, you know, the other person is going to be
rock
ahead in that.
Robots.
Yeah, Rock'em Sock'em.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Yeah.
Didn't Knock Your Block Off another one of those, or is that?
That's just the same.
Or is that the saying within the game?
You better watch it, or I'll knock your block off, kid.
Was that the saying from the commercial, though? It feels like it was.
Are you talking which commercial?
Like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots kind of thing.
I don't know.
And vintage commercials. I'll be on YouTube.
Oh,
on
I
the
love
break.
Vintage commercials.
Love them too.
Robert Conrad was one of my favorite with the Dairy to Knock
Dairy
It Off.
Knock It Off, right?
Is that a battery? What was it?
It was a battery.
Yeah.
It was. Battery Pack E.
What was that
tying
about?
Tying this whole thing
that?
Together but right
why,
now.
Why was that? I Dare You to Knock It Off. Like,
well,
what
like,
was that whole about?
Like that was like a thing like, put a chip on somebody's shit. You put something, I dare you to knock it off. And it was just because he was doing batteries and he's supposed to be like a Hollywood tough guy for what passes.
Bob Black Sheep, baby. Great show.
Yeah. He also, I think he was like contractually obligated to take his shirt off in just about anything he appeared in.
He was
in great shape.
Yeah.
Right. But there's an episode of Columbo where like basically the whole episode is him running on the beach or doing push-ups on the beach or doing something.
Right.
And Columbo's there in his trench coat, you know, trying to figure out. I wonder if he did it, you know?
Right.
Like, in Rule of Columbo, his first person who appears on screen did it.
Columbo was great.
Right.
Was he really?
Oh, pretty much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, you always knew who did it.
Yeah.
It's watching Columbo figure out how they did it.
They had like Kojak, Columbo. I mean, they had all
My
these.
Wife is the biggest Columbo fan in the world, man. I mean, she's seen them all. She's seen them all. She'll tell you like right away, like, you know, da 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 da. I know a few. You know, I've memorized a few over the years.
You watched Lincoln Lawyer, by the way?
I did.
Like it?
I thought it was good.
We just started.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. So far, so good.
Yeah, it's different. A little bit different than the movie, but it's based on the same character.
Oh, okay.
You know, McConaughey's character.
Right. They did say watch the movie first, but I didn't.
I don't think you need
to
see it at all.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
I think it stands.
I like
on
it
its
so
own.
Far. My wife and I are into it.
It's funny. You say that because I just helped my in-laws. They're celebrating yesterday their 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, God bless them.
Unbelievable,
that's huge.
Right? That is huge, right?
Come on.
And yesterday was the day, so I went over to their place because one of the gifts they got was a Netflix subscription.
Oh,
right?
Oh, wow.
82 years old and just getting on Netflix for the first time.
Come
I mean, if that's not enthusiasm for life,
that's
right?
Huge.
And that's not positivity. That's a beautiful thing. So,
that made me smile.
Enjoy it for the next 30 years, I hope. You know,
man, 60 years.
60 years of marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They got married in their early 20s,
Youngs,
right?
They're high school sweethearts.
Oh.
So you know, good for them.
Love stories.
And they're still
are
sweethearts,
great.
Man. They're awesome. Mike and Ann Nash.
All right.
Salute to them. Starting year 61.
Salute.
All right. It's Jaguars today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Jags.
Are we?
Maybe. Yeah,
what
maybe.
Do we got? What's
I don't
the
know.
Latest? Was well, anything going on other than they're off?
Oh, Tom, there's a lot going on.
Oh, the, you know, the crypto. Like, who cares? What is going on with this crypto stuff? You know?
People care about other people's money.
I guess
lot.
So. I'd be like, what? Who cares? Just win, baby.
Trevor Lawrence cleared up the whole situation, by the way. He got like a $25,000 bonus from the crypto company that he signed. But I'll be honest with you. When I read the original tweet, I thought he was taking a signing bonus in crypto, like his NFL signing bonus in crypto.
I didn't even know that.
Right.
I saw a couple of guys in the league do it, right? There was a guy that just
well, the thing of it is, you can't. The NFL will not pay you in cryptocurrency. You can take it and convert it, but there's got to be a middleman step along the way. But I did. I was like, oh, he took his signing bonus in cryptocurrency. But then I wasn't sitting there going, oh, damn, wonder what Trevor Lawrence's, you know, portfolio's looking like right now.
It's just like every follow-up to it, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah. Don't right. And so he lost a bunch of money. I don't know.
We're a little worried about Trevor. I'm tracking it. It's down a couple percent today.
I'll say this. Trevor, even though he got, I guess, 25 grand from the crypto company, like on the night he got drafted, like a bonus kind of thing. And so let's say that's lost 60% of its value. Mm. I don't have any idea, right? Sure. That 40% of that 25 grand is way more than I'll ever have in crypto.
So yeah.
I really don't care that much about what
he's
doing
with
his finances.
Money.
That's 15
no,
grand.
No, I mean, I worry about it. I think we worry about it, or worry might be too strong a word. We discuss it in terms of
how it affects the team.
Right. Is this team going to be able to fit this guy under the salary cap? How much space is there? How many free agents can you sign? We're interested in that. And, look, let's be honest. We go there and we're like, damn, Dante Moncrief, man. You got how much?
So
we do pay attention to it.
I'm not at all interested in Trevor Lawrence's portfolio. Right?
Crypto.
Right. I'm going to assume Trevor Lawrence is going to do just fine.
Yeah.
Invested
in what you want to invest it in. Good luck to you.
I got a hunch.
Yeah.
At some point, the Jags will offer him a second contract.
Oh.
Just guessing.
Yeah.
Right? And that's going to be probably north of $40 million a year.
So that 25 G's down 15 G for 60%.
I suppose. Sure. If it's really down 60, I mean, I'm not, like I said, I don't follow the
I do it in the air.
The crypto
it works,
rise and
by
fall.
The way. Do you do your math in the air ever?
I don't, but I sometimes probably
look
up. Do you,
Tone, ever? No. I'm telling you, it works. You can see the numbers right in front of you when you write them in
Tom
the
is actually scribbling
how about
numbers
you? Do you
with
do that
finger.
At all when you're adding some up or subtracting or multiplying or
give
something
him the head
like
nod. I'd love it right now if you just give him the head nod.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's
still
a friendly,
can't hear you.
Still friendly face.
There you go.
It's still friendly face. Mike gets red and stuff.
I don't, I'm always red, man.
You
I'm
are
just,
red.
I'm
you
just
red
like,
right now. Well, your shirt's red. Do you think you're
I absolutely
like
it probably does.
Like, you know,
no, I do. I'm like a chameleon.
Eyes do that.
I am.
My eyes get green or hazel if I don't wear blue. If I wear blue, they get a little bluer.
Yes. I've been
so
told I have green
skin
eyes.
Gets
I have
red
blue
when you
eyes.
Wear red.
I think my face and skin are red because I'm a
oh, I thought
red-blooded.
That was mocha. Those are moccasins.
The mox, who I think I've mentioned this once or twice. A couple members of my family, not my immediate family, they don't live in my house.
Right.
Right. Were like, why is that school mascot named after a Native American shoe?
Ah.
So, no, that's not the moccasins that they're, you know, well, that would be kind of funny if that was their logo. You know, there's some comfortable leather.
We like comfy shoes. Right? We call ourselves the mox.
We call ourselves the mox. Yeah. Right? 'Cause who wants to be all, you know, bunched up with your toes? I don't know. But no, it is the snake. So.
Yeah. Good.
There you go.
Yeah. That's where Colin's going.
Colin's
right?
going, yes.
Yeah, cool.
Florida Southern. Mox.
Yep. Nice.
There you go. Got to represent.
What's that, in Naples?
Fly the flag. It's Lakeland.
It is in Lakeland.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
In Lakeland.
Nice.
So, yeah,
not
very
too
nice
far,
campus.
But far enough. Right?
About 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, which exactly. You know, far enough for him, like, we just can't drop in on him.
Right.
And far enough for us that he just can't drop in on us.
I like it.
There
That's
you
right.
go. You know,
change the locks too, baby.
Hey, by the way, it's 10:10 in the morning. Happy 10:10 to all of you out there,
nice.
Listeners of 10:10 XL. Today, we actually do have a Jaguar-related question of the day. I know it's hard to believe based on the start to this program today, but that's because Tommy brings the good energy, and we never know what's up.
ADD,
no, you're
CTE,
good, brother. Just do a little air math, and while I tell people what the question is.
Give me an equation.
All right, let's see. Trevor Lawrence is going to throw 36 touchdowns this year,
and 40% of those will go to Christian Kirk. Okay, how many will
36?
He catch? 36. Work on that. We ask you today, tell us a training camp storyline or more than one. How many?
204? No, it could be 204. 20.4.
I don't think your method works.
Well, it does. I just did.
Wait a minute.
Maybe.
Hold on.
You said 36.
I said he'll throw 36 touchdowns. Right. Christian Kirk will catch 40% of those.
40%.
204.
So be more like 14, yeah. I guess. You know, because it's not an exact
14.4.
Yeah, 14.4.
There you go.
4, exactly. Yeah. Well done.
It's a little off.
Well, yeah. 200. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, like, I think I misheard it.
Yeah,
whatever.
Did that work with your math teacher?
Listen, buddy, give me a better question.
No, she's like, it's written there on the page, Tom. All right, tell us a training camp storyline or more than one that you're looking forward to following. Training camp opens July 24th. Today's June 24th. Mm-hmm. Got one month for those guys. Yeah. Sunday, June 24th. So looking for training camp storylines that you're looking forward to following this year. You can hit us up on the phone lines today, 641-1010. The same number for the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Of course, you can interact with the program on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Meathead55, and at IME2T.
Come on, somebody.
All right. And I swear to you, E, we will not wait until the last few minutes of the program today because we want people to have an opportunity to get their Guns N' Hoses tickets early because they got to pick them up today.
True.
Right? We're going to give away a pair of Guns N' Hoses tickets coming up, and you can see Tom McMahon is judging. E.T. is going to be ringside doing play-by-play for 10 a.m. So away we go, all right?
Beauty.
We're going to have a fun Friday.
It's Tony's, a great event.
Tony's last day before he goes on vacation.
Oh, no kidding.
Over here. Mm-hmm. So got a lot of things in the hopper.
Very nice.
Okay?
You didn't ask me to fill in for another day?
I'd love for you to come in for another day.
Mike, you can't do it that way. I'm not the one that's supposed to bring it up. You're the host.
What it was to me.
He asked me. He's like, hey, Tommy Mac, you want to come in on a Monday and help me out? I was like, yeah, I'll come in, Tony. No problem.
Would you like to come in on a Monday and help Tony out the next time I'm gone?
I got to think about it.
Okay. Because I don't know if you paid attention to what I asked you there. All right. 200.
I heard you.
The answer is 200. All right. To anything today. All right. Tell us a training camp storyline. What? Okay. Yes. Tell us. You're right. There's one that it is the actual correct answer
to. Thank you.
To.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a training camp storyline or more than one that you're looking forward to following this year. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, to show that popularized air math, it is Jaguars Today, 1010XL, and 92.5 FM. There's nothing different that happens on the break. We just continue along with the same ridiculous conversations.
Oh, I know.
You know, McManus is kicking himself. I should have got that one right.
I went with an 8 instead of a 4.
I love it. Happy Friday, everybody.
It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. You know,
I love it.
What I would be the only thing that would probably be better is if you had the time and inclination to join me for an extra day next week to come in. So, you know, I'm going to hold out hope, but I don't know. You know, I know it's a big ask.
You never know, Demps. You never know. What day would you prefer?
Tom. You know, gee.
Shucks.
Gee Willikers, probably Monday would be just fantastic, you know, but that's up to you. That's
Monday?
Really up to you. Mm. I know you got a lot going on.
Sunday, I'm going to train Sunday night. Courtesy of the Jaguars alumni. Thank you, Jaguars organization, for that.
Nice.
Yeah, bringing a wife, a couple friends.
Yeah.
You ever see Train?
I've not.
Pretty good. I saw him at St. Augustine years ago. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
He could play the guitar pretty well.
This is what I know about Train. I would not have known Train was an individual. But Train was like a group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a group?
Yeah. It's a band.
All right. But when you say I went to see him, is it
I just think of him as he's Train, I guess.
The front man.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Much like you are the dad bods.
Yeah. August 12th, baby. We got a new gig.
I'm going to see Tom.
Cole Haynes right here at Southside, right around the corner. We're going to be at Cole Haynes August 12th from 9 a.m. to or 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
All day.
9 p.m. to 1 a.m. My bandmates are like, 1 a.m.? I'm like, I know we're the dad bods, but we can do it.
Right.
My bass player's he's like 63.
Wow.
It's going to be a late night for him.
Pretty good. He should get Netflix. I hear that's popular.
That's going to be my gift to him.
Amongst a certain demo that's becoming more and more popular.
I like it.
Tom, let's talk about a few things. Kind of, we like to recap some of the
stuff
from the week with you, give you an opportunity to weigh in.
Okay.
And I know you did. I was very pleased. I think I gave you
I think you liked it.
Liked your tweet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like.
You felt like after the way you treated me on Tuesday that maybe I should make up for it with a like. I get it.
I did. Did it work?
I feel better now that I thought about it. I didn't really think about it.
I did give you a nice little
like. You did. It was a nice like.
What was the one you weighed in on? X Factor player.
Yeah.
Right? And your thought was whoever wins a kicking battle is the biggest X
Factor for
this team.
Well, look, I mean, listen, you may not have liked Matthew Wright's kickoffs, but he was 21 of 24. He was 2 of 4 from 50. I mean, he was all right as far as – I was shocked when they let him go, to be honest with you. I know you need to kick off deeper, whatever. But so that whoever wins the kicking competition, you got to be at least as good as that, right?
You would hope.
Wasn't that right?
No, he was very accurate on the field
goal. Didn't he hit 50 pretty good, twice?
He did.
Three times, maybe?
His rep was that he didn't have that massive leg, but he did hit field goals.
I don't know.
I think most people, to the average fan – they care more about the points, right, than they do. But as soon as you give up that 40-yard return because you couldn't get it, you know, past the one-yard line or whatever, you know, I'm not thinking of a specific example, but then you're like, oh, damn, we can't keep this either.
And the NFL has changed, right? It may have been 20, 25 years ago you didn't have a whole lot of kickers in the league that you got 55 yards out and thought, we got a chance.
No, right.
Right? In today's NFL, across the league with 32 teams, I'd imagine 25 teams are pretty comfortable attempting a 52-plus yard field goal. So
it's expected now.
Right. You can go find a guy that can give you that.
Yep.
Is he helping us in field position on top of that becomes a more
and you don't want to have two.
Integral part.
Yeah. Right. You don't want to have a kickoff specialist and a kicker.
Yeah.
Maybe you like your punter, your kickoff specialist.
Come on, Logan Cook. Start kicking kickoffs, man.
I honestly
a big dude.
Don't
sure
know
crack.
When, you know, you're not, you know, when the Jags haven't been scoring as much as other teams, they haven't been kicking off as much either. But I really don't know, how taxing that is.
Right.
There are not many guys that do it full time. You see it in a pinch.
Yeah.
But you don't often see the punter be the full-time kickoff guy.
Yeah. And kickoffs are way different now.
They
right?
are.
Way different. I mean, I used to be a wedge buster, man. I was like, wow. It's like going downhill on a roller coaster and running into a wall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing. I did. I didn't mind it. You know, if that's what I needed to do for that game, then I would do it.
What did you take to get you juiced up for a game? Like, I know you like legal stuff. I know, but didn't you like – there were some things you guys would take.
I was taking until my mother told me to stop.
Because you've told this before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She knew I was jittery before a game, and she told me after the game, she's like, I don't know what the hell you're taking, but you don't calm down to second quarter.
Like those Magnums?
Yeah.
What they were like?
I did. That wasn't like a team. I mean, I guess a couple guys did. We always had the smelling stuff. But to get me rocking, I put on my headphones and start cranking Metallica and AC/DC and – you know, all that stuff.
Right on.
But I did have a ritual. You know, I like to warm up a certain way. I always like to really get a good stretch. I like to be ready somewhat early. I like to go out on the field and move around a little bit, you know, that kind of stuff. Stretch some more, listen to tunes, you know, think about killing people. No, not killing. Just running into people, you know.
It's hard to think about.
Yeah, you want to run into people as hard as you can, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I was in a, like, you know, like it was inner. You know what? I wasn't a you know, that kind of stuff. I wasn't like John Henderson. Hit me harder, Joe.
Right.
I wasn't like that at all. I was more like just keep. I try to keep it inside.
Don't touch the moneymaker.
Don't touch.
Hands off the moneymaker.
That's right.
Right here. Yeah. Matthew Wright, long of 56.
Yeah.
Last year.
Okay. So I that's why I answered it the way I did, because look, you could say ETN, right? Healthy ETN,
no doubt.
He could bring it. Oh my gosh, but I wanted to go a little bit obscure the kicker's got to – it's got to be a solid kicker. They got big shoes to fill, man. Lambeau, the guys before, and even Matthew Wright. I mean, you better be at least as good as him, or what's the point? Just because he can kick off a little bit better.
And just for comparison's sake, while we're talking about touchbacks and kickoffs and all that with Matthew Wright had 19.4% of his kickoffs result in touchbacks last year.
That's awful.
That's awful. Yep. Compared to Logan Cook, who had 42.9%. He's 48%, almost 49% for his career, and he's kicked off 113 times. You compare that to Justin Tucker, the number is 62%.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's not every time.
Right.
But you have to pretty consistently.
Right. Probably 50, and let me ask 50 and up.
Yeah.
And because the rules are different on kickoff, that's why. Because you're going to get a return. Right? I mean, is it easier to return today?
I think now, though.
Or is it just
the same?
If you
get it to the end zone, you're generally going to get a touchdown.
A kneel down.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you get it at the 25.
Right. It's that the kicker can't get it to the end zone, and now you're going to face a return every time. Right.
They're kicking it inside the five, which some teams, I think, try to do that.
Okay.
Depending on their coverage schemes.
I mean, if you feel good about your coverage units, or does that not fact? I'm asking. I'm more thinking out loud, ready to write down
things in the air here.
No, but think about it, because, you know, three phases. Like, hey, part of special teams is running down on kickoff and making sure they don't go anywhere.
I don't remember having an opinion on it last year so much, but 2 years ago it felt like Jaguars special teams coverage was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awful.
Okay.
And that was a big deal. Like, when you needed them to get a touchback, that was a big deal.
Or a tackle, though, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, because if you're a good coverage team and you hold teams within the 20, that's what we try to do, hold them with the 20.
Absolutely.
20 are in, then you win. That's a winning, you know, coverage play on kickoff.
Sure.
Maybe they're going to look for a pure kickoff guy because we're scoring touchdowns and going for two this year. That's what we're doing. We're getting eight. We're not getting three.
Right. It's just interesting because, you know, if you had a strong coverage unit, who cares where the – I mean, obviously you
– Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Peterson one of those guys who always went for two on, like, the first touchdown of the game?
I don't remember.
I think Tomlin does it, right? Yeah. Maybe I'm conflating the state of Pennsylvania.
And I know
the Steelers, I think, do that quite a bit. They say if they first touchdown, they go for two.
Yeah.
Because if you get it, it messes with the other team's psyche a little bit. Like, are they going to try to match us?
Right.
You know, and they don't. They're going to be behind even if they score. And if we miss it, all right. So we got six on the board.
Right.
It's early.
Right.
You know?
I know Sirianni was one of those guys last year.
Maybe that was what it was. Yep. I could have.
Because they had a Sunday night game, I think, against Buffalo, where they scored, you know, halfway through the first quarter and went for two, and that two-point conversion that they converted came back in the end. Like, that was a big point at the end of the game.
What was the wasn't it a high school coach that did always went for it on fourth down? Dude, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Pretty much the entire place.
Yeah.
You know, like, no matter where on the field, I think that high school coach would do it, you know? That's what the analytics people will tell you, that with like basically anytime you're outside your own 20, you should go for it. And
it depends, though, right?
Well, it depends. I mean, in the short term, it could cost you in that game.
Yeah.
But their idea is
overall,
if you do it, keep doing it, you're going to be successful X amount of times, which is going to lead to X more possessions, X more points scored, and it's going to be a net benefit to you. But that net benefit may cost you a couple of games.
Right. Or a big game, you're trying to, you know, playoff game, right? I mean, you're not going to do it at your own 20 with a minute left. You know what I mean? Give them the ball if they stop.
I think there are probably exceptions for late in the game time.
Yeah.
But basically,
outside of that, go for it.
That's what the analytics tell you. Mm-hmm. Of course, the analytics tell you that it's going to come up 50-50 red and black with the exception of those two green spots on the roulette wheel. That doesn't mean it can't come up black three times in a row, you know?
Right.
And if it does, you know, if that kind of thing happens and you get stopped, you know, a higher percentage of times in one particular game and you're giving up the football deep in your own territory.
Right.
Pretty bad formula, too.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
All right. So kicker for you is the X-factor. You know,
I think that's look,
training camp.
That's a big part. And especially if you're, I don't want to revisit it, but you only averaged 14 points a game.
Right.
Last
year, that's so got to change drastically.
Change big time.
Got to change drastically.
Where do you think? What's realistic for you, Mike? Do you think for them to get to 25? You think they get to 25 a game? 24 a game?
Even less than that, but over 21. You know,
and then have the defense to keep it under 20, kind of deal.
Right.
Hopefully.
Well, yeah. No, but is that the
14? Thinking? Anything in the to me, anything under 20 is pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
You know, so. Give yourself a fighting chance, I think, offensively. I'd like to see three touchdowns on
24.
Average.
Three touchdowns and a field goal.
The higher the better. Right. I don't – who? What did, like, the league's leading teams average?
30's got to be,
You think?
right?
No. Dallas averaged 31.2. Okay. Tampa Bay, 30.1. Those are the two teams that average 30 points a game.
What's the bottom half look like, Tony? Like, where's 21 at?
21, let's see. I wish they would actually number these things, but it's right. It's around the middle. It looks like it's around 18.
Okay, so 21 would
be a significant improvement.
Yeah, well, a touchdown more.
Don't stop there.
No, next year, for this year anyway.
Yeah.
But now that defense got to step up. We gave up, what, 29 points a game, 27 points a game last year?
They've got
tons of
new personnel.
Totally.
How good is it? Did they make the right evaluations? And how quickly can they, you know, combine to make an effective defense?
I feel it's more paper than anything. Hearing a little bit about Cisco makes me think even more. I feel pretty good about our defense. I do. I think our front seven, obviously health plays a factor.
Honestly,
I think they're going to be tough.
Outside of Trevor Lawrence himself, I think more people – point to the front seven on defense is the thing they're most excited about. You know, to Tony and I, at least, you know, since the offseason has played out, you know, with the additions that they've made, free agency and the draft. You know, they've got, you know, with the exception of Josh Allen, a completely revamped linebacker core.
Totally.
Fully fought Takasi, supposedly their number one target out there in free agency on the defensive side. So let's go make some plays. All right. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll take a look at some other questions we posed this week through the eyes of Tom McManus, including the most versatile players currently on this roster. We'll do that straightforward, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line if you want to join the conversation today, asking you for your training camp storyline that you'll have your eye on the most, or maybe several if you've got those in mind. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yeah, I can't remember what we just talked about on the break there, but I do believe that the story, you were telling us something, and then you had to cut off because we're coming back. I don't think we ever went back to that. Do you even remember?
No, we didn't. We'll
go back to that next break.
Yeah. No, we didn't, and no, I don't.
We didn't go back, but none of us can remember what it was, right? Is that what you're saying?
But yes, yeah, okay. I could remember if you give me just a little bit of a glimpse back into it. But
I'm sure,
we'll see.
Like if we, I don't know, recap the whole conversation, we'd probably. But we don't. I don't think we have that on tape.
204.
No, that was doing the math. That was after the math.
It was after the math.
We
added four to the final.
I was telling a story, I think, right? When I tell a story?
I think you were.
Yeah, and then you like,
what?
No, we had to go on air. No. Radio comes first.
I think you gave me a look, you know.
You got red on. That's like a
I do. Is that you like the bull?
Yeah, like you look almost like a bull.
No, I look like a bull.
I mean, not like look like a bull, but you got the red like a bull.
I do. But does that trigger you in any way? Like, does that make you more aggressive?
No.
Come
you
after
know, I'm
me?
Pretty,
is that
no.
a myth, by
do
the way?
Do I go after anybody? I don't go after anybody. Who do I go after?
I don't know, man. I'm just talking here.
I'm
just talking on a Friday.
Except when the bathroom cleaner dude's rude. I am not that calm. That's all.
Yeah.
But it's pretty. I'm pretty
scrubbing it for you, man.
I really do appreciate it. It was very clean.
Just so a little more tact.
I'm gonna remember what we talked about. It was a cool story.
Was it? I don't know because I don't remember the story. It may have been cool. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
No, maybe it was.
I
think I was talking to Tony anyway. You were busy
I think
doing
you were.
Something.
I was kind of cross talking with you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So,
all Jag talk. All NFL. Except on Fridays.
Mostly Jags and the NFL and Tom McManus.
That's
and whatever Tom's got on his mind. So those are the things we talk about. You
Dangerous.
Do listen to the promos, though.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Oh, I just heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
did you? I don't know. Did it play? I don't know. He just says speak, and I speak. I don't know.
I literally just heard it.
By the way, my quick Google research that bulls are colorblind to the color red.
It's the movement of the flag.
So it's the movement of the flag that irritates them.
Tom
it's not
McManus.
The stabbing.
On 1010 XL.
The sword doesn't bother them at all?
The sword is an unfortunate side effect of their anger at the
Don't moon. Wave the flag.
Right.
But now, stab them as much
furious.
As you want.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Those swords are not very long, right?
No, right. You got to get in tight.
Right. They're just.
I would not.
You got to stick them a bunch of times. And
yeah.
Then they're flopping around with a sword hanging out of their. Yeah, your back.
No. That's actually something I want to do, go running with the Bulls.
Oh, I used to want to do that too before my knees so could handle it. I totally would have done it, E.
Yeah, well, I want to strap a
goat. Get your horn up the
My wife was good with jumping out of a plane, but she's like, you ain't running with eight bulls, man.
And like, I'm not jumping out of a plane.
See, I would jump. I would have, but now I'm older now.
Why don't you go to the rodeo and jump in, then just let him, a big, mean bull chase you?
I just want the suspense of, like, running through the city. I want to strap a GoPro to me and I want to push some of the Spaniards
out of
the way.
All right, go into the safari and let some lions chase you, E.
Nah, man. I want to do
get out of my way,
that's what they do. Hey, I want to
go find a pack of wolves up in Canada and have them chase
you. I used to watch that every year, the running with the bulls. You know, yeah. And
our trainer Mike Ryan used to do it. He did it like three times. Yeah,
and it's in July, so it's around my birthday. So I always, I'm like, you
there
know,
you
I
go,
do
birthday
that.
Present. Go run with the bulls. Would you be one of those guys you wear? Like, see, that's the thing. Now that you know they don't really, it's not the red. Everybody wears those all white, and then they put the red around their neck. Like, come on, bull, go for the throat or something. And I'm like, that's the suggestion.
Yo, man,
like,
I'm colorblind.
Look how tough I am.
Oh, no.
I'm going to put a red kerchief around my neck here.
Right.
And it's
but it can't tell.
I wonder, so then, if they're angered by the movement, if you just stand there, they're going to run right past you?
No.
I ain't trying to find out.
No, I've seen Johnny Knoxville. The bull didn't miss him.
No, yeah, but he was antagonized, I'm sure.
I'm sure they have severe ADD. They see one, they see, you know what I mean? Right. They're like freaking out. Like, who can I get? Who can I get?
Target of opportunity.
Why are you in my area?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
You know, E.T. kind of was leaning into it. I don't have to outrun the bull. I got to outrun you.
Yes.
Right?
Or just get out of the way of the bull.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes they have those like little hairpin corners.
You had some
and the bulls some go shizzle in the middle. Sideways. And
he's just
going to
shake
there.
Him in the open field, and he's going to fall down right in front of him, break his ankles.
I'd run with the bulls. I wouldn't now because I can't do it. But I felt like mentally I would run.
I actually like jumping from high places in the water.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, not like not ridiculous high places, but 30, 40 feet. Yeah, they're,
really?
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'd probably
it's exhilarating,
that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done that. I think pretty sure I haven't, as a matter of fact.
There's a place over in on the what's Bob's River joint or something like that, and it's got all these, like, you jump from these trees. They have these really big swing.
Yeah,
I mean, kind of the swing was scary, like, because you kind of got to like drop down in it, you know. You're up high.
You got the lag.
You got the lag. You're like, is this gonna hold on to me or not? And then you let go, and it shoots you way up in the air, and you got to let go way up top. Oh man. So much fun.
Yeah.
Do that noise again.
Tyler. I don't know where that came from. I like it. That's exhilarating.
Would you be an Acapulco cliff diver? Would you do that?
No.
Too high?
Way too high.
Yeah. I don't know how deep that water is.
40
feet's pretty high.
It is high. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's high enough. And it'll hurt you if you
you don't look.
If you don't land good.
Yeah.
You gotta be like a pencil when you enter.
Yeah.
I tried to be funny in the Bahamas and I landed kind of slanted down, and man, I hit my hamstring first, my butt first, and that hurt for
it's
a
like
long
hitting
time.
Like a brick wall, right?
It hurt.
You know what's funny? I cannot jump in the water feet first. Whether I'm on a high dive, I got a backflip. That's the only way I can jump off of those things. Like, just to jump in feet first. Like in boot camp, whenever I had to do the swim test, I had to jump feet first from like a 7-foot platform. I was freaking out because I
really
can't, I got to flip it.
Did you just turn around and just say, watch this?
No, they made me jump in feet first.
You survived it.
I survived.
See, I think the feet first thing would be the way to go, man. You like cross your arms and just go down.
You know, I can die. I can't dive from, I could dive from 20, but you just got to, I don't know.
Like when I used to dive off like a 13-foot high
head
dive.
A little.
And that's the highest I've ever done. But I'd get, like, my feet would start flipping over.
Right.
So you wouldn't go straight in. Like, you'd go down, and then I didn't have that body control. Easier to do with just gravity, feet first.
Point your toes.
Yeah, I've done 40. And as someone who's 40? Terrified of heights, like, I'm terrified of heights, but I've still done it. I didn't look.
Yeah.
Like, I just got to the top of the thing and said, here I go. Like, I'm not going to look at where I'm going. And then you get that, you know, 3 seconds of wow.
Yeah.
And then you hit.
Yeah, my oldest daughter jumped too after me when we were in the Bahamas a few years ago, and I'm like, it's okay, just do it, you'll be all right. And she almost like she stumbled the second. I was like,
You stall,
and then she came down. Mm. But thank goodness, it was,
no interest.
Yeah,
in jumping off anything high at it's any point anymore. I jump into one of those like pits with like a foam pit. That would be more fun than jumping into the water.
Do like a bike jump or something like that into
it? Or just any kind of anything. Yeah, bike jump into a foam pit. Although I'm sure I'd rack
the bike. Yeah,
the
bike would hurt me somehow.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
You kind of almost got to throw that forward, let it go, and
yeah,
it's kind of wee.
Yeah, people, you know, different strokes for different folks, you know. All right.
Back to the Jaguar conversation.
What else do we got?
I don't know.
No, what, like other
well,
questions.
I wanted to follow up on the X Factor thing.
Yeah, right? I went kicker.
Kicker. I know you did.
Then we're talking front seven.
On defense,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Trayvon Walker fits in all these conversations here, right? Front seven.
Yep.
Versatile player.
Yep.
Do you think we'll see that versatility? I know they're talking about right now, let's focus on getting him comfortable as an outside linebacker. Do you think we'll see a point this season where he becomes more of a movable chess piece? Or do you think that, for better or worse, his rookie season will be primarily spent outside linebacker?
Where would you like, not you, but where would you see him moving other than playing outside backer in a 3-4?
I think he could play big end. You know, and rush from there. I think those are probably the primary two spots, but he moved all around the defensive line.
I know.
You know.
Yep. That's so, college, though.
No, I understand that, too. It's a different skill level, obviously.
I personally, I want to see him excel as a 3-4 outside backer, because if he can, that's an imposing 6'5", 270-pound outside backer. Coming off the edge, being really strong against the run, even can drop on occasion. If he brings that kind of pressure and presence, Josh Allen's going to the Pro Bowl, as far as I'm concerned. He's going to get back to that that rookie year type numbers, in my opinion. So I don't want – I don't. To me, look, on third down, you know, we're moving guys. Like, you're going to see Arden Key come in. You're going to see other – you want to move him inside and let's see how he can do against a guard? No problem. Like nickel or something like that?
I'm not saying he's going to play nose guard on first and second
but
down.
Even big end, I wouldn't – Roy Robertson the Jets.
Brown,
whoever. Let them handle it. They're built for that. And he may be, I'm not saying he can't do it, but to me, I'd rather have, if he can excel at that outside backer position, that's a big piece to have, right? You know, I'd rather have, put it to you this way, I'd rather have an oversized outside backer that can do the job
than
an undersized down lineman that can do the job. Because after a while, you know, you're still taking on. You're not taking on double teams for the most. You might get chipped, right? They may slide the tight. They, you know, that type of thing. But when you're a D end, I don't care if it's 4-3 or 3-4, you're getting double teamed a lot. That tight end may be crashing on you. That tackle may be crashing on you. The guard may be coming over to get a little push on you. That's a lot of pounding to take. So to me, I'd rather listen. If he can excel at that truly outside backer position, leave him there and let him just rack it up.
Is he an X factor to you, though? Like, you know, just as – look, guy's the number one overall pick. And
no,
there's a big range of possible outcomes, you don't think?
And here's my thinking. Not because he's a first-rounder. Because let's just say he's a non-factor.
Okay.
Which we don't think that's going to happen. Let's just say I'm okay with Smoot. I'm okay with Key. I'm okay with whoever else is going to be there. Because I think the inside's going to be better. I think the backers are going to be better. I think overall they're going to be better. Do I want him to be the guy? Of course I do. I drafted him number one. If he's not, can someone else take that position and we can still be a really formidable defense? I think they have that on that roster.
If you don't get that out of Walker, though, then you're going back to Smoot, who I think is a solid NFL player, right? And I think Key is a solid NFL player,
right.
But you're not getting that help on the other side of Josh Allen. Like, how does that impact your expectations on Josh Allen for the 2022 season if you do or don't get that out of Walker?
Whoever's opposite Allen, the job is to make sure that they don't always slide to him, right, overall. Like, don't slide to protect. Come to me because I'm the one being disruptive.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Walker. I don't care if it's Key. I don't care if it's Smoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we've seen Smoot. Look, Smoot's solid. He'll give you 6-7 sacks, right? I mean, he's shown that throughout the years. He's good against the run. He's a bigger outside backer.
But we had that last year.
And it didn't help him.
Right, but we also didn't have the interior either, right? I mean, they failed. Devon Hamilton did not have a good year. Malcolm Brown didn't have a good year. Roy Robertson-Harris had a pretty good year. The rest of them, they didn't do anything. They got pushed around. Well, Gotsis did pretty well.
Yeah.
On you know, in certain games.
See that back tat for
Gotsis? Back in his butt, yeah.
Right, the entire back of his body.
Yeah. That's a lot of artwork, man.
That's a lot of artwork.
Good for him. And the artist said he barely flinched. Whatever. Hey, man.
Personally, I'm like, that's what you chose to throw on.
You know,
there?
You know what's going to be funny though? Wow. When he's 80, if he makes it that long, that the bottom of that tattoo is going to be down to the back of his knees.
He's got it covered. I need to get the back of his legs done.
But that's it's a badass looking tattoo. But man, good, whatever. Good
All
for
right.
him.
All right, here's what we will ask you about going forward here, Tommy. Okay. Who are the most versatile players on this roster? Okay, and who are the most important new additions that they've made? Because I mean, the additions are, for the most part, done. You sometimes add a guy in training camp.
No, right.
Probably not a significant factor here for this team at this stage. So we'll get into that as we embark on hour number two at some point, coming up in hour number two, and some breaking news.
Because no, it's not breaking news.
Not breaking news.
This is us paying off something we said we were going to
do
in the first hour.
Tickets to Guns
oh, nice. Nice, yeah.
Right. We're going to do that right now, as a matter of fact. See?
How are we going to do it?
Well, E, I'm glad you asked that. Because I'm sure Tony has a caller number in mind, Tony.
I do. How about six?
Six? I don't like it. I'm going to go with four.
17.
I'm going to go with
four.
No,
I don't like 17.
No, I'm going to go with four in honor of ninth inning run scored by a certain team last night.
All rise.
Oh, I don't know if you get into that when he only hits the walk-off single,
but still,
that's okay.
It was him.
I'll give Aaron Hicks a little all rise love from last night. All right, caller number four at 641-1010. If you'd like to go to see Guns N' Hoses, you and a friend, loved one, enemy, I don't care who you take, you get a pair of tickets. E.T. will hook you up with those coming up. You'll see E.T. ringside. You see Tommy McManus ringside judging. E.T. on the call on 1010 AM. Call right now, 641-1010. E.T. will hook you up. Tony will take you around the league when we return in a moment. This is Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi is signing a one-year, $8 million deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had a deal in place with Chicago on a three-year, $40.5 million deal at the start of free agency, but it fell through after a failed physical. Now he is signing that one-year contract with Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers have also signed first-round pick quarterback Kenny Pickett. After all 32 first-round draft picks have now been signed to their rookie deals. Former Washington safety Brig Owens has passed away at the age of 79. He played 12 seasons for Washington from 1966 to 1977. Owens is the franchise's all-time leader in interception return yards, second in team history in interceptions with 36, and a member of the Washington Ring of Fame, and former San Francisco, Minnesota, New York Giants, and Detroit running back Hugh McElhaney passed away yesterday at the age of 93. McElhaney was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1970 after a career that included six Pro Bowl selections, two first-team All-Pro selections, and was a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame's All-Decade Team of the 1950s, a high school state champion in the hurdles and long jump, chose to attend the University of Washington. After a year at Compton Junior College, he still holds the Washington school record for rushing yards in a game when he went for 296 against Washington State one year. He told The Athletic 2 years ago that he chose the University of Washington because they offered him money to provide for his family.
Nice. NIL, baby.
Yeah, why not?
Back when.
It was certainly going on, although not for your name, image, and likeness necessarily, just for your showing up, and that was good enough. Mm. Tommy Mack, let me ask you about the Larry Ogunjobi story, okay?
Okay.
Where he had a $40 million roughly deal for 3 years with the Bears.
Okay.
Can't pass a physical.
Right.
Ends up signing with Pittsburgh, where obviously he passed the physical.
Right.
And he gets 1 year, $8 million. In your opinion, do you think when we see stories like this from time to time that the NFL teams make that agreement and then they go, wait a minute, we're going to do what? You know what I mean? Like, an NFL team could fail you for any reason, right, on the physical.
You know, I tell you, with everything going on in the NFL right now, nothing would surprise me, right? I mean, think about everything that's good, whether it's Daniel Snyder and all that mess, whether it's Cleveland and what, you know what I mean? It's like, so who, I don't know. Yes, to answer your question, teams, if they have buyer's remorse and they haven't signed the dot, could they just say, you know what? Just say he didn't pass the physical. Done. Because how does he – well, I guess you could pass it from 1 year to the next, right? You just got healthier. But, they could definitely do that.
It's conceivable that, A, two different doctors will disagree on what the threshold is.
Totally.
And also that at the time he was going to sign with Chicago, maybe he healed up and whatever was bothering it, and maybe they moved on and filled that.
Right.
You know, I don't know every move they've made this offseason. Yeah. But
so to answer, do they? I don't know for a fact.
But you would imagine probably.
I mean, they do anything. I mean, obviously, they're doing it now. You see all this crap that's coming out, you know, so. You know, look, the NFL's run by 32 owners, right? Goodell was the governing force, and now they moved on with the new CBA. But
I don't even think that's necessarily an ownership thing. You know, more like a front office GM kind of thing. Like you're sitting there and you're like, we allocated these resources here. Wait a minute. Yeah. We didn't realize we could have gotten this deal done with some other guy. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I was more not necessarily that particular, but like with Dan Snyder, they had to know what was – I mean, come on. I mean, Dan Snyder's one of the owners, obviously, with everything that's going on.
Well, Dan Snyder's accused of being in the middle of a lot of the inappropriate behavior.
Right. And the ownership of the Browns had to sign off on going with
Deshaun Watt. Oh, something like that,
Watt.
No question, you know what I mean? About so how, it. Right.
I don't know.
Right.
They're going to protect themselves as best they can.
No doubt.
We know that.
No doubt. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in, talk a little Jaguar football with us today. Tom, going back over some of the questions we had this week. Talk about versatility.
Ooh.
Right? And this is a question about, you know, how you define versatility and what matters. Like, to me, I said the most versatile player, I think, on this team is Tyler Shatley, because I think he can play five positions. I think he can play any spot on the offensive line. I'm not saying equally well, but in a pinch, Shatley could go in and play tackle for you. He'll be better as an interior offensive lineman. He could probably play three positions well and serve you in a couple of other spots in a pinch. Right, so I think he's one of the more versatile players on this roster. A lot of people said ETN, Jamal Agnew was a popular answer. Like, who jumps out at you when you think about versatility and the way they might potentially get used for this team?
Yeah, so I would go with and this is more of a projection.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think versatility, I think the more you can do, right? So if I have a linebacker that can play the run real strong, can blitz really well, and can cover really well, right? That's a versatile linebacker. I'm expecting a Lewakin to be that kind of guy. I'm expecting Lloyd. Now, he's a rookie, so I can't put too much on him, but he's built for it, and so is a Lewakin. So I want to see that they're versatile like that, that they can – you don't have to come off the field. I wasn't versatile. I had to come off the field on third down. You would not put me on the scat back to cover him one-on-one. Or to rush the passer. So I was not a versatile player. I was versatile in certain things, but overall.
You were a role player who filled your role very well.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. But my point is, so the versatility, so like you said, play multiple positions, right? Well, linebacker's got to be versatile playing multiple facets of the game, in my opinion, right? You got to be equal. Like I was thinking about, they did a chart. Did you see the chart, tackles? A couple of our Jags were on the, most tackles in the league, in their career. Ray Lewis was number one. Donnie Edwards and somebody else was number. I mean, they had did you see the pyramid? Did you see that? It was on social media, on Twitter, or something like that.
This week? Was it
I thought it was this. I saw it this week. So, like, Paz and Mike Peterson were on the bottom rung. It was like top 50 of all time tackles. Anyway, so, you know, I'm thinking about Ray Lewis's career.
This thing?
That's it. So I'm thinking of Ray Lewis's career, who was obviously a very, very versatile player. He could stuff the run. Now, in his defense, and God rest Tony Siragusa, because I knew Goose a little bit. He was a good guy, at least from my point of view. I met him a few times with a friend of mine, Eddie Toner, and only reason I bring him up, he passed in his sleep earlier this week, but. Mm-hmm. To play behind him and Sad Adams made Ray Lewis's job wicked easier than the rest because nobody touched him for the most part. But with that being said, Ray was so instinctive against the run. He'd always meet the back near the hole or at the hole or close to it. He could blitz with the best of them. He was very good in coverage, very good at catching the ball, interceptions, the whole deal. That guy was one of the more versatile linebackers of all time, if not the most versatile linebacker of all time.
Got the chart you're referring to was from something called SOG Football, and it's most solo tackles recorded since 1994, and they had them tiered.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Lewis, with over 1,500 was on a tier by himself. You had London Fletcher and Derek Brooks with over 1,300.
Yep, great player.
And you had Donnie Edwards, as you mentioned, Zach Thomas, and Keith Brooking with over 1,100 for those guys. You had a level for 1,000
by the way,
and so on.
Zach Thomas was very versatile. I mean, he was. And London Fletcher, doesn't get, he was a great middle backer. That guy was, like, shorter. Mm-hmm. But, man, he was a great middle back. He played for a long time. He was one of the better ones out there.
Tier five was guys with 900 to 1,000 tackles, basically. So Mike Pete and Paz only missed out by a handful. Like, Mike Pete, with four more tackles, is on a higher tier. But he and Paz Lesny are on that next tier.
You know,
guys, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of my favorite plays, and it was early in Mike Peterson's career as a Jag, might have been his first year. We were playing Baltimore at home, and Jamal Lewis got a swing pass or a screen or something, and it was one-on-one in the open field between him and Mo P, and Mo P lit him up. And I was like, oh. Because Jamal Lewis, no little dude. He was
a great back.
He was a great back for a very good time, but he smacked him. And you could hear it in the stands. I was like, ooh, man, that's a middle backer right there, man.
You know what's interesting to me,
great,
looking at this pyramid, and I'm glad you brought it up. If you want to see it, all you have to do, if you're on Twitter, just put NFL tackles in your search thing. Beauty. And it's like the third thing that'll come up. You've got a handful of safeties in here.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's mostly linebackers and mostly middle linebackers or inside linebackers in a 3-4. But you got your Lawyer Malloys in here, Eric Weddles. Champ Bailey is on here in the same tier with Paz Lesny and Mike Pete.
Wow.
They must have played a lot of cover, too.
Right. But for that's a corner, that's a tackling machine.
That is. Yeah. Come my way, corner, and he's tackling you.
I mean,
he's awesome.
Right. Now, Charles Woodson's on here as well, and he played some of both.
He
did. Corner and
safety.
And safety.
Yep.
And I do believe Champ almost played primarily corner. Even at the end of his career,
I don't think he played. Did he?
I don't know if he made the switch at all. Right. You know, like, I'm sure he lined up at safety in his career. Champ Bailey,
His Pro Football Reference page, he's never listed.
Yeah,
as
I don't
a
remember.
Never,
yeah.
Not a single
That's
game.
Yeah.
See, but that in the course of a game, though, I think you get moved around a little bit. Like, you're a starting cornerback, and maybe you end up playing a safety role. But for the most part, he was not a full time guy. And we've brought this up so many times when this comes up. The way the NFL has changed so much. You look at running backs now, and certain guys got big money, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But now everyone's like, it's dumb to pay these guys these big contracts. You know, like Ezekiel Elliott after this year will probably be gone in Dallas because there'll be no more dead money, right?
Right.
When Champ Bailey got traded from Washington to Denver, they got Clinton Portis back. They had to send a second-round pick with Champ Bailey to get the running back, Clinton Portis. Now, Clinton Portis had some really good years.
He did.
With
Washington. He did. Yeah,
but Champ Bailey is a, like a 12-time Pro Bowl Hall of Famer, and you got a second-round pick in the deal back then.
Yeah.
But
and he's a good dude, too.
Yeah.
Is he? I don't know if I've ever Champ had Bailey. Champ on. Maybe. Once or twice.
I heard he's a real nice guy.
I don't know.
Portis was a good
player. I can't recall.
Man,
Portis is a guy. He's a great interview. Clinton Portis is. But I don't know if I've ever spoken with Champ Bailey.
No.
Nevertheless. All right. So we'll come back. Get some more Jaguar discussion to throw Tom McManus's way. If you want to be a part of the conversation, 641-1010 is the easiest way to get on board here. The question of the day: training camp opens a month from today. Tell us a training camp storyline or more than one that you're looking forward to following. We'll discuss that as well as we continue on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's see if we can't populate that list of training camp storylines. Today's Jaguars Today question of the day asks you, with the Jags opening training camp 1 month from today, July 24th, tell us a training camp storyline or more than one that you're looking forward to following. Let's see if we can't identify some of the biggest storylines that everyone should have an interest in following. With today's 1010 Take.
1010. This 1010 Take is brought to you by Honest Abe Roofing, the reliable roofer that gives you a quote, not just an estimate.
All right, let's just first time around the table.
Okay.
What's the most important one? I mean, we're interested in a bunch of things, right? There are right. all kinds of position battles, right? But what is the single most important storyline for training camp, in your opinion, Tom McManus?
Press Taylor's offense and how he calls a game. How is he going to put his quarterback and the offense in the best possible position to win drive after drive? Because last year was a cluster. It was. You know, and it got better at the end, but so what? Overall, the play call, I don't know how many times, come in here the next week, like, that game plan sucked. That play call was terrible, blah, 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 blah. So I want to see that. I want to see what Press Taylor's offense is going to look like. Obviously, Doug Peterson's going to be a big part of that, but got a young QB with a lot of talent, a lot of tools. Let's see if they can maximize
all right.
his production.
So what the offense looks like, in other words, to get the best out of Trevor Lawrence. Right?
Well, that he's going to run, you know, without,
yeah, no, yeah, obviously,
without him, you're right. not going to have an
sure,
offense.
Of course. E.T., what you got?
How Trevor is going to look in general. Because last year, he was the player and the coach. Because the guy that we had last year wasn't cutting it. So I want to see how he takes command of not just the offense, but the team as a leader. You know, and it starts in training camp. So how he takes command on this team. Because he don't have to do what he had to do last year. We got Doug Peterson for that. So I want to see how Trevor actually takes the lead this year.
Okay. I like it. Tony?
It's hard to pick one area of yep. it, so I'll just say offensive line. Yeah. I mean, 3/5 of the offensive line is open. It's up for grabs right now. And what you do with one of those decisions may affect one or two other decisions you make along the offensive line. If Walker Little isn't your starting right tackle, maybe you want to try him at left guard. And what does that mean for Shatley and Fortner at center in their battle? And the loser of that battle may just be a bench guy, right? Like, it's there's a lot going on with moving pieces along that offensive line, and it does feel pretty wide open at this point out of those two spots at left tackle and right guard.
I'll get back to that in a sec because that may be the one I'm most forward to following, looking forward to following. But I agree. You and E.T. expressed it in different ways. I might not express it the same way as either one of you, but I think it's all the same thing. What are we going to get out of Trevor Lawrence this year? How big of a step is he going to take that – is in part relying on Press Taylor and the rest of his coaching staff putting together a game plan. In part, as E.T.'s talking about, got the first year out of the way, the dumb stuff is out of the way, come into your own as a leader of this football team, a leader of this offense. I just want that daily buzz of, you know, oh, my God, did you see that throw? Or did you see that series of throws? Or do you see the chemistry that is developing between Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk, Trevor Lawrence and Evan Engram?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, so – year two of a quarterback who started year one is probably the most important year, right? Because
that's what is a common thing that people say.
Well, because they game plan against you, right? But here's the caveat. This is a new offense. We don't know. You can study Cincy's offense. Mm-hmm. You can study Trevor in college. You can study Trevor last year. But do you really know what kind of offense they're going to run? You don't. You probably have an idea, but you're going to have to wait and see it. So maybe that gives Trevor an advantage because it's not like – because it happens all the time, right? That rookie QB, wow, great year. That next year, they're like, okay, we figured him out. Got him on tape. We know what his weaknesses are. We know what we got to do. We got to either flush him out of the pocket or we got to keep him in the pocket, right? You either got to get him from the outside or he doesn't like pressure up the middle. He gets all – whatever it is, whatever, you know, that – you know, that game plan is. So that's huge for any second quarterback. Maybe he's got a little help to him because it's a new system, a new coach and all that. But it's the same thing. I mean, look, this offense is going to go as Trevor Lawrence goes.
No doubt.
And he's got to make that next step if he's, which we all believe here, that he's our franchise QB.
He's got to produce more, but he's also just got to cut down the mistakes more as well. Like, you know, and that's a big thing too. Sometimes you do get a guy who comes in and kind of catches the league by surprise and then the league adjusts. Other times you get a guy come in and with all the circumstances around Trevor last year, it was not the best recipe for success. He's going to adjust. Maybe, you know, you look at Peyton Manning that first year, 26 touchdowns, would have loved that. 28 interceptions wasn't that bad, around
I'd
here.
I'd have taken that all day.
Manning did 26 touchdowns again his second year, but cut the interceptions almost in half to 15.
Okay.
15 still a high number.
It is, but we'll take that.
But if Trevor is cutting his down,
scoring,
he's got to obviously, you got to throw in the 20s at the minimum, right. You know, as a 17-game starter here. But if he is able to do that and he gets those interceptions down like 12-ish.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Totally. You're not going to know that in training camp, but to me, that's the most important. I think, like, I know what you're talking about, Tone.
Sure.
That's an important position battle. We all agree what Trevor Lawrence does is going to dictate the next, who knows, 10 years of Jaguar football.
No doubt.
But he cannot take the beating like he took last year.
No.
Which goes to the O-line.
Which goes to the O-line.
I mean, and that doesn't even get into – I mean, watching whatever chemistry is developed between him and everything that's new.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're talking Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and Evan Engram, and you're getting Travis Etienne back. And what does all of this look like as a collective?
You didn't play that much with Dan Arnold. You played a few games, right? I mean, you got to rekindle that.
It's so much.
Yeah.
You have no idea what Laviska Shenault's role is in this offense right now. So that has to be carved out. And these are all just questions we're talking about on offense. We haven't even gotten to the other side of the ball yet. Offense.
Who do you think is starting right tackle on opening day?
Walker Little.
Me too. Me too. Especially after Mia talked about it the other day, how they did ask around on the interest on Juwan Taylor and didn't get back enough that made them feel comfortable to make that move. But there was a price that if someone was willing to pay it, they would have made that move, which indicates to me that they have to know that Walker Little's at least capable of handling that job, right? And they're still going to give Juwan Taylor a chance to compete with him, but they saw something on film that indicated to them Juwan Taylor is not some clear-cut better option at that position. And I think ultimately they'll go with the Trent Baalke draft pick. You know, this part of this regime that selected Walker Little, you know, middle of the second round, and try to get him on the field as quickly as possible.
And I think it's one of the big X factors for the offense going into this training camp is, when is James Robinson back and James Robinson again? You know, and I don't know if that'll happen in camp or if that'll happen early in the season, but him being himself again would be a massive boost for what the Jaguars could potentially be on offense, and we don't have an answer yet on when that'll be.
That is a huge storyline.
Oh, big.
The whole running back room, I think, is a fascinating storyline, right? If James Robinson's not ready early on, what is the role of Snoop Connor?
That's right.
In this offense, are they counting on Travis Etienne to be the primary every down back? You know, you're not going to play 99% of the snaps, but is he the 60% ball carry? That means handling a full load between the tackles when called upon, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe he is.
Maybe.
And, I mean, the guy – it's not like he never ran between the tackles at Clemson.
Yeah, right.
You know, but James Robinson, Tom, to me, I'm looking at personally get him back after the final preseason game.
Yeah.
And you still have two more weeks to ramp up for the regular season.
And have Snoop ready.
Have Snoop ready.
Yeah.
Maybe it's slow. Get his feet wet in September and
– yeah.
You know,
if you got three good backs, it's not a bad thing.
Heck, if you've got one guy who's proven in James Robinson, another guy you've got to be expecting huge things from in ETN.
I want to go back to Little for just a second.
Yeah.
So he played left tackle last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they saw that on tape. So like they saw Juwan Taylor on tape.
Sure.
Right. So they obviously think Cam's a better left tackle than Walker. Or they don't do that deal. They just make Walker my left tackle.
Sure.
And I think he will be the right tackle based on what we're saying. And he should be. Look, he's a second-round pick. Like, and I know Juwan Taylor, you know, he's third-round pick, right?
Or second.
Okay. There's some good things about Juwan Taylor. It's just not consistent enough. And if I'm him, I'm fighting for my life at right tackle, but I'm saying, look, you give me a shot at guard, too. I know he said he's got to change him. I said, but I just find it interesting. So here, you got Walker Little. He's played left. Okay, he's not our left tackle. Cam is, but now he's our right tackle. You know, we got to. So I mean, I don't know. Did he play right tackle in college?
No.
So it's just interesting to me. Like, you know, okay, he's our right tackle. Okay, and I'm not saying that's a wrong move, but I just find it interesting that here he is. You draft him as a left tackle. He's played left tackle. He's not your left tackle. So the default is he's right tackle.
Well, here's the other scenario that's possible, right? Let's say that they asked around, what's your interest in Juwan Taylor? And maybe if they could have got a third, they would have moved him, okay?
Right.
At that point, you know, depending on what point of the offseason that is, maybe they haven't spent the free agency dollars. Maybe they do things differently. Maybe they go get a pass rusher, and then they spend that top pick on an Ike Ekwonu, who can come in and be your right tackle right away. You know, yep. So maybe it was a case where it wasn't necessarily predicated on Walker Little as much as it was, we're in position to get a premium player at one of these several positions. Let's see if we can add something here, and that will maybe dictate which direction we go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, is it realistic to think that Taylor would get a third? I mean, it seems like.
I'm just throwing a number out there. I don't know what they were looking for.
Right. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if they were shopping him, quote unquote, mm-hmm. that means they like Little more than they like him.
I mean, I could see them asking for like a fourth that could go to a third if he started a dozen games this year or something like that, you know?
I think Walker's going to. I'm just not totally. As an organization, like if I was a G, I wouldn't be ready to give up on Taylor just yet. I don't know. And maybe it is.
I don't know if they are.
And maybe it is moving him inside, and he's got to be open to that. And he should just stop with, I'm not playing guard. He should just play wherever they want him to play. But I love his tenacity. He does get after it. I mean, he does struggle in pass coverage at times, but I like the attitude that he brings to the table.
And you're talking about, you talk about Walker Little hasn't played right tackle, so you're putting him at a new position. I think he'll be fine doing it, but you are putting him at a new position, and then you're potentially talking about Juwan Taylor playing a position he's never played along your offensive line as well. And I'm not saying that that's not what's best for the team potentially in the end for how things may work out, but we just went through all that whole list of new things on offense.
Yep.
And you're talking about maybe potentially playing two guys in spots they've never played in their football careers, right, along your offensive line. Yeah. Now, it may be what's best for the football team, but you would expect that there would be growing pains to some degree if that's the direction they wind up going with it.
Yeah, yeah. I've never played tackle, but I know hearing from tackles, playing left and playing right are different.
Yeah.
Even right guard and left guard, because of the way you set and the way you're flipping your whole
mm-hmm. –
your whole stance,
makes sense.
I mean, your whole. Yeah. So it does make a little sense there. But I look, maybe the number one storyline is what Tony said. Who's my O line?
Yeah.
Who are they? And how good are they going
to
be?
Yep. All right. We'll come back, take a look at some of your responses to this question. We'll look at some of the storylines on defense. I don't even think that covers all the offensive storylines.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't.
What are the roles going to be for all these wide receivers?
No,
you know, where does Zay Jones fit in compared to LaVisca Chenault?
Are we
going to
see separation?
That'd be great. And, when we do,
come on.
Are they going to catch it?
Right.
That's one thing that Zay Jones has going for him. So if they watched the film last year, I heard Jeff say the number this morning, 33 drops for the team. It depends on what source you go to.
Right.
It was way too many.
Way too many.
All right, we'll come back and take a look at your responses, the listening audience, today's question of the day about training camp storylines that you're looking forward to. Got a bunch of those in. We'll do that next. This is Jaguars Today. Coming back for one more on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, final few minutes of the week here on Jaguars Today. It does feel kind of like it flew by a little bit because Tom McManus always makes things move along at a rapid pace.
See? It's good for some stuff.
So what am I seeing you, Monday or Tuesday? What are you like?
You know, Debs, for you,
Friday.
I'll do Monday.
You want to come in Monday?
Sure. What are we going
to
talk about? Jaguar stuff?
We're talking about Jaguar stuff. You want to come in? I mean, it's up to you. Honestly, I'd love to have you. You know why I don't ask you? I don't want to burden you. I don't want to make you feel like
Mike don't ever want to burden nobody, dude.
It's not a burden. Okay. It's lovely.
That's what I mean. I
like making
nobody.
The trip.
I'd love to have you.
All right, Monday. I'm in.
See ya.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm not leaving now.
I'll see you Monday, but I will see you Monday.
Right.
And Friday. We'll bookend the week together.
Wow.
Bookends.
That'll be good.
Wow.
Bookends.
Hey, man.
Bookend tackles.
Beauty.
That's what we are.
Beauty.
You want to play left or right?
Center.
Center tackle? I'm just going to lay down and make people jump over me, which that's the best I can do to try to slow anybody down at this point. Tony, before I run out of time to ask you, what are you doing on your vacation?
Heading down to Orlando this weekend with a bunch of friends and their kids. We're hanging out down there at the resorts for a few days.
Disney stuff?
Not so much Disney. I know they're going to SeaWorld, I think, on Tuesday, like okay. that kind of thing.
Did you get permission from Hacker to visit the
I have not cleared Disney it with Hacker area. Yet. Yeah, we're staying at one of those hotels that has, like, a water park attached to it.
So cool.
The kids can go nuts.
Nice.
You know, like the Renaissance.
Yeah.
There are a lot
Across
of water
street
parks
is
down
that,
there now.
Yeah. One. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. Yeah.
Well, I always prefer a water park to a theme park. Always have, my whole life, even when I was young.
Yeah.
Love
it. I'm not a big roller coaster dude. That's one thing I do.
Oh, I'm
not
with you
like.
On that.
They give me a headache.
But I'll go on any slide with where I could sit in an inner tube and just go sloshing around.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That makes three
That's
of
me.
Us.
He's like, I like the lazy river.
You're
yeah.
not getting on a roller coaster?
What? I will hold y'all's bags. I will do everything. I am not getting on.
I'll sit here and hold your camera. Hold your phone.
Yeah. I'll take the pictures and the videos. I'll
watch
I'm not
kids.
Getting on that.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Aiden,
whatever. I'll adopt them. I'm not
getting
on that
some
thing.
Food. I don't know.
And Aiden loves the roller coaster.
Give me that
like,
crying baby.
It's not
going
even
on
a fear thing.
Thing.
Like it's not a. It's my stomach, man. I'm not that guy.
It's an annoying
I can't handle food. It.
I know the rides I can't handle. I know the rides that I can. Like I can't do Superman at Six Flags. Never again.
Yeah.
Never again because you do the ride basically on your stomach. Like you're just hanging like you're Superman flying through the air.
Right.
And it's. One of those things, you know, we do the question every now and then you'll get what superpower would you want if you could have a superpower? I can tell you what mine wouldn't be. Flight.
Right.
I can't do it.
Well, like my motion sickness, I would like flight, but I wouldn't go like, you know, down and corkscrew around. I just fly.
At a nice elevation.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Over.
I can't look at the ground while I'm doing it.
Flight is great, but invulnerability might be the best, really.
Teleport.
What are they going to do with you? You know, can't hurt you.
I've always said invisibility.
Do I have to come up with one?
Yeah. I've always said invisibility, and I would haunt a friend. Like, I would just move stuff around in their house so that they are convinced
you'd have to be
there's
naked
a
all the time.
Ghost. Convinced that there's a ghost, and then I would just deny them that there's ever been ghosts.
Naked Tony up in the house again, guys. Can't find my cell
Look
phone.
Look out, Disney.
What you got?
What, superpower?
I thought you were thinking of one.
I'm thinking speed.
Super speed?
Yeah, just Pretty flashy. Good. Being able to be anywhere in a blink of an eye by my speed.
Would be bad.
You know what I mean?
Be pretty cool, yeah.
And everybody else
Thomas Haas's
like
situation in Germany. Okay, it's over.
Everybody else
you know
is like
mean?
In slow motion,
yeah.
right? Because you're just flying on by.
Yeah.
Wouldn't
Smell
be
you
bad.
Later.
Hey.
Anyway.
The ability to create money with my mind. That'd be a good one, too. I
want to learn.
I am an alchemist.
I want to develop a money tree that I can plant in the yard.
Yes.
Just develops dollars.
All right. We got to get some of these. You know, Fan Cam's going to come in at the last minute and get it on the airwaves. So let's go to him at 641-1010 to wrap up the week. Cam, how are you?
Hey, good morning. It doesn't take much for you guys to slide back into a metaverse, does it?
Yeah, no. There's very little structure to this program when Tom's here.
When am I getting these tomatoes that I keep getting – being teased about Fan Cam. I get
my
pictures
bad,
from time
Tony.
To time, but they're never in my hand.
Huh. Well, I it's my fault, and I apologize. I've been kind of busy lately. I was hoping to drop some off at the studio, and that's my bad.
Drop them off next week. Tony won't be here.
That's
awesome.
That's probably would be what I would do. Well, just to touch base on you stole my thunder yesterday, Tony, but the situation with Agnew is really similar to the one with Taylor to me, in that he really proved he's got all the tools to be a hell of a slot receiver. And, boy, they make a lot more money than a punt returner. So that's something else I would look for. And, obviously, I think you guys know what I'm looking most forward to in training camp a month from today. And that would be how many Jaguar fans show up ready for a big, fat bowl of chili.
Yeah.
And here's the first invite to everybody. I'll see you in a month with some daddle and habanero chili and about 13 types of sauce.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. There's no excuses for not showing up for Fan Cam's chili
what
this
year. What time is that at?
I don't know. I don't know if they've
Morning,
announced.
Morning, 10 a.m. maybe?
If they have, I haven't.
Times,
I got a late flight that night, so I might be able to show up for the first day.
Love to see you out there.
All right.
You want to? I'm going to invite you to camp, and we'll share some chili together. You can have your own bowl, though.
I like this brotherhood.
Your own spoon as
I
well.
I really do.
Cam, have a good weekend, buddy.
Yeah,
all right.
Man.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, pal. All right. Let's get some responses to today's question of the day as we ask you your training camp storyline that you are eagerly looking forward to, or more than one. See what some of the common ones were. Trevor's progress, I'm with you, Cristiano. And Trayvon Walker focusing on one specific job. Walker and Lloyd's defensive looks and placements. The O-line, another one here. Let's see. I'm looking – this. I think this is True, there's a little snark at the end, but looking forward to all the observations about how professional and functional training camp is, simply, under Doug Peterson, compared to Irvin Miller.
Nice.
And that's taking it next level. Ooh, right, like here. It. Thank you, Douglas. Appreciate you, Irvin Miller.
Yeah, I certainly think that's a big factor. The wide receivers, I think, will actually be coached this year. That'll be nice to see.
So, you know, the Daily Observers, that was the funniest thing about the rookie minicamp, is that they're like, we watched just like 10 minutes of the receivers doing drills, and they're like, yep, that's more coaching than they got all season long last year from Sanjay Lal. So, you know, and the funny thing is he's back in Seattle, had a Seattle reporter on Sirius XM a couple weeks back. Can I tell you that? And he's like, they're all excited about having Sanjay Lal back in the building. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, good for you.
Do you. Let's see. Irish diplomacy, the development of the additions to the passing game seem to be on the right course, or will they seem to be on the right course heading to opening day? Offensive line battles, a lot of that. Who's the wide receiver 3 on this team? Let's see how I need to see how Trevor has developed into a prehistoric terror record super cat
next year,
and that will be enough for me. If we don't get a holiday out at training camp,
oh man, got to get Unk out there.
He better be showing up, man, and you know, chili. You know, you can have a cup of Maxwell House to wash it down. It'll be fine. Let's see. Right tackle, man. Everybody's on the offensive line, and that's understandable. How will LaVisca turn things around? How about how will the top 3 cornerbacks be used? We believe Damian Williams will be your nickel, but does that mean he's not on the field, you know, in base defense?
Right.
You know, or is he one of the top 2 out there to be determined?
Darius.
What did I say, Damian?
I think you said Damian.
Did I say Damian?
I know who you're talking about.
Yes, it is. Okay.
You know, that's going to – it's going to – I mean, and again, if you go by dollars, it's Griffin and Williams. Darius, right?
Yes.
Based on the, you know, the political
stuff. Now you're trying to rub in the Darius to me
right now. You know, first name basis. You know what I'm after.
I know how you are, man.
That's right.
I see you Monday.
But Tyson Campbell, look, man, I still think he could be our starting corner. I do. I want to see that young kid progress.
I don't think that's out of the question at all.
He's right there.
I mean, look, there's different kinds of investments. They invested the first pick around 2 in him. Trent Baalke had a hand in that.
Right.
So.
And let's be look, a lot of 3 receiver sets. He may jump. You know, maybe he's on the outside and Darius is on the inside. Or Williams is on the inside.
I think D-Rock was on here, and he said that they signed Darius to be the nickel.
Yeah. Ah.
Yes, but does that mean that's his only role?
Right. We don't know.
Because he did play a lot of outside corner.
He did.
For Los Angeles. So either way, I feel like they've got a pretty good top 3, and Trey Herndon's played a lot of football. But it's interesting, John Shipley, you know, in one of his pieces on the – still available free agents out there that the Jags might be interested in or should be interested in, had a couple of corners on the list because he doesn't feel like the depth is very good at the position. Maybe the back end isn't. I don't know how many teams have like 5 guys that you'd feel comfortable rolling out there, though. You know,
I don't think many.
Safety, right tackle, back end of the wide receiver depth chart, running backs. There's just a lot of position battles.
No doubt. Yeah. I think safety is fascinating. What they're going to do next to Andre Sisco, who I expect to start at one of those spots, but Rayshon Jenkins with Andrew Wingard, I don't know how that's going to go. I would expect that Jenkins is going to be the starter, but as we've discussed for the last several weeks, how do you get Chad Muma on the field?
Yeah.
If it isn't coming on for Rayshon Jenkins at times as that money backer role, and what does that look like, you know, for this football team? And if he doesn't fill that role well, Chad Moom is a backup linebacker.
Right.
And that's all he is.
You're in special teamer and whatnot.
And you find that out in training camp.
Yeah.
And the front 3, I think, is interesting too. We all think Foley's going to be the guy and Roy Robertson-Harris is going to be the guy, right? Like we have an idea of who those 3 are. And Tommy, a guy that we've talked about over and over again, it's Devon Hamilton more than a backup nose guard for this football team. Can he play 3 technique and give you anything as a pass rusher as one of those 3
I would give him shots at the 3 technique. I think he's a massive human being for a guard to have to deal with, in my opinion.
I don't think there's anything that's off the table with a new coaching staff. You know, why not give the guy the opportunity to show you what he can and can't do? Like we're going to do right now with XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping the sports world spinning with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Big Sirs is with us, training camp standout for many, many years for whatever team he was playing for. Hello, Leon.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, my man?
We're talking today
about, among other things, training camp's a month away. All right, so what's the most intriguing storyline to you that you want to see play out in training camp this year?
Most intriguing
or
story?
Or among the most intriguing?
You've got the Walker little, and you got the Juwan Taylor battle. That'd be a nice little battle. Probably the linebackers. What linebackers are going to stand out during training camp? I think the interior of the offensive line is set. Who's going to be the wide receiver?
When you say the interior of the offensive line is set, what's your trio?
I'm hoping that Fortner wins. That might be a nice little Fortner and Shatley might go battle.
And you think Barch will win have the guard spot?
I'm hoping that Fortner wins the battle.
Right.
And then Shatley and Barch, they figure it out at the left guard position.
Yeah. What about Fortner at left guard and Shatley at center? Yeah. If it's not Ben.
Yeah.
If Ben doesn't win that left guard spot.
It's not that I'm not big on Ben. I've seen him struggle enough to where I'm not sure if he is ready or not. That's all.
Yeah, fair.
Well, we're done for today, Leon. So what do you have coming up on XL Primetime?
Well, we're going to have the hacker in at 12:40 to give us his assessment of the number one pick by the Orlando Magic.
This guy, by the way, I hear him again. I happened to catch him last time. I'm not usually in the car, and I catch Hacker. Oh, it's been a tough few days in sports for me. And he's going through it, and he goes, my Rays lost. I'm like, okay. So now he's back to pretending to be a Rays fan again. This guy, here's the life cycle of Hacker's fandom. Braves when they were good, Rays when they were good, to the Red Sox when they were good, and now he's back to the Rays for some reason.
And the Lightning. So, I'm sure he mentioned the Lightning.
Oh, yeah, of course. His Tampa Bay Lightning, he just bleeds.
Well, we know one thing for sure. He is a Magic fan.
I'll give him that.
So I'm pretty sure he was pretty stooped yesterday.
Major eye roll when I heard that last night, but I love it. All right, Leon, have a great show and a great weekend.
Thank you.
There you go. Tony Smith, man. Have a great vacation.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Tommy Mac, any good plans this weekend?
Let's see. We've got Guns N' Roses tomorrow.
That's big.
Yep. And then we're going to go see Train Sunday night. I'm going to be back here on Monday. Tonight, I got the whole weekend with just me and my my girl. So my kids are all out of the house for the weekend.
All right.
Yeah, man.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
E.T., enjoy the Sharks tonight and Guns N' Roses tomorrow.
You know I will.
I know you will. All right. And that'll do it for us today. Tommy Mac, legend, has it that he will return
Monday, yes.
Next week.
I will not need a reminder, although it would be nice if you sent me one.
All right, well, I probably will on Sunday then.
Don't forget.
All right, I might. we'll have some other special guests in throughout the course of the week next week as well. That'll do it for us. Enjoy XL Primetime and the rest of everything to come today on 1010XL, and we'll talk to you Monday right here on Jaguars Today.